Well, praise the Lord. You know, you get free when you dance and you praise. And if you're going to just sit and laugh at everybody else dancing and praising, that proves to me that you're still bound. I know we sang that one song where we did at the beginning, but it's to set you free so you can receive everything that God wants to do for you during the rest of the service. You know, David danced with all of his might just to show everybody how much he loved the Father. And I really believe when you refuse to do praise and worship, you don't love the Father the way you ought, because praise and worship is about honoring Him. And this is a dispensation time where we really need to be honoring the Father. And as we were singing that first song, God said the reason why your homes are bound up is because you don't know how to go through your homes and take authority over the enemy as you stomp and dance, you know, through your homes. Maybe some of you just need to do that. Go home and just sing through your house and stomp on the devil's head. Let him know he's finished in your home and he has no more authority. Something is going to have to break if your family's going to be set free. You are the vessels of honor that God wants to work through. If your family's bound, they're sure not going to dance through your home and set it free, are they? They're already bound. So it takes you, who supposedly are unbound, to take authority over your pea field. Let's just put it that way. That home is your pea field. And you're going to protect that home against the devil no matter what you have to do. And I'm just really encouraging each one of you here this morning to really start thinking about your home, what's going on there, and who is in control in your home. Is it the Father or is it the enemy? Amen. You know, you might be the only saved person in a house of 10. But God puts you as a light in that house of 10 to break up the darkness and to set the captive free. But the body of Christ is not doing their work. They said they're the only saved one in a household, and they say, oh, poor me. Look what I have to go through. Look at all the darkness around me. The darkness is going to stay there until you take your rightful place in Christ. You know, the darkness is just, he sits back and laughs at you, because here you are supposedly a child of God, walking in the light, and you're allowing the enemy to have full, complete rule and reign in your household. I don't care if it's through your children, I don't care if somebody lives with you, I don't care who it is, but if somebody's in your household that's in darkness, you have to be the one to break up that darkness with your light. Amen. There's not a one of us that's sitting in here this morning has not been guilty, including me, of allowing the darkness to abound and instead of using our light to break it up. But God is really, God told me this morning, it's desperate times that we're in. And we have to go to desperate measures in order to defeat the enemy of our soul. So each one of you in here, if you're truly a born-again child of God, then you need to start taking dominion even over your own life, the darkness that's in your own life. You know, God, and a lot of the prophets are saying that God's given you the authority to deliver yourself from demonic beings instead of always relying on somebody else to do it. So if you're truly, your light's all that bright, why are you walking around in all the darkness? These are just things I want you to really think about. Just really think about. I don't think the body of Christ thinks about the right things. You know, okay, we give God Sunday morning. Some giving Sunday morning and evening. But then the rest of the week, you don't really emphasize the importance of who Jesus truly is. And he's able to have rule and reign over your life, your neighbors, whoever. It's really important that we start understanding what our role is as a born-again child of God. And America still has not learned their lesson. Look at what's going on in the elections. I'm totally shocked at how many people didn't turn out to vote. But so guess what? There's going to be more things come upon America because you spit in God's face again by not going out there and voting. and you let the enemy win once again. Church, how often does it take for us before we understand what God wants us to do? If the church isn't going to stand the ground, the world isn't. I mean, they're standing their ground, all right, but it's for the devil. So, church, we need to rise up as a force of elite warriors and take back the land. God, you know, I'm sorry, but more things are going to come upon the earth due to this election. And don't complain. Don't complain. If you didn't vote, definitely don't complain. And if you did vote, don't complain either, because you did your part. That's all you can do. And we just, now it's in God's hands once again. What happens to America? And you know, God said, woe unto America, because you would not honor me. If you look at some of the people that were voted in, you can definitely tell they're not honoring God. I just want you to think about these things. Please think, start thinking about what's really going on around about you and in your own life. You know, I was praying this morning about something. I said, God, I don't want to have aught against anybody. Because when you have aught against anybody, you cause the doors to open for the demonic realm to go and harass them. And so your mind, I'll be praying, I said, God, let my mind stay pure, you know, with everybody. Because I don't want to be the vessel that the devil uses to harm somebody else. You understanding this? And you know, as I was praying that, just trying to keep myself clear, God started to give me great revelation knowledge that I've been praying about for quite some time. And he started telling me exactly why these things were going on. So see, as you really cry out to God and want a pure heart, you're going to have the pure Father start speaking into your heart. It isn't anything I'm thinking, but it's straight from the throne of grace. So keep your heart pure. Don't have aught against anybody. Keep your heart pure. Walk in that love walk that God's called us to walk in. And then watch and see what the Father will start speaking to you. Because he said he wants to give us the mysteries of heaven right now. And we can't receive the mysteries of heaven if we're walking in delusion. You know, if we're walking in hate and always trying to conjure up something about somebody, against somebody else. We can't do that. We have to say, like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you listening here? Please, please, after this morning, start thinking about where you're really at. Father, we just thank you right now, and Father God, I look out across these people and I see hungry hearts. I see people that want to see the miraculous power that you talk about. I see people who are so desperately wanting you to drop your glory upon them. And Father God, please minister to each one of us in here this day. Let us be the light that shines in a dark, dark place. And Father God, will no longer be a hindrance to the world or the rest of the body of Christ. But Father God, we will be the lights that shine, break up the darkness, and bring the harvest of lost souls in. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know there's a harvest right in the church? How many of you know that everybody sitting in the house of God is not saved? Amen. They're not born again. And some walk in the delusion that they are. You know, and some think, oh, well, I just invited God into my house into my heart 50 years ago, so I'm good. No, you're not. The Bible tells me you work out your salvation daily. You know, and people ask me, are you going to go to heaven? I said, I don't know. I don't. You know, that's not a secure thing. I have to walk out my salvation every day. And I never know when my days are numbered, right? So what if I was doing something stupid and I died? I wouldn't go to heaven. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're walking with God 100% every day. keeping herself covered with the blood of Jesus, keeping her minds pure, and doing the things we're supposed to be doing. And we need to be start being honest with the church. You were so afraid to say to somebody, you know, you're really not walking in the light the way you ought. You know, we're afraid to say, you know, you, right now you're not really ready to go to heaven. If you should die, you wouldn't go to heaven right now. That's not going to get you popular, but you just might save a soul. You might save somebody that's sitting in the house of God messed up. All right? Or who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. God, you're judging, not me. I'm just supposed to tell you the truth. And then whatever you do with that truth is totally up to you. At least your blood is off of my hands. And this is how you should feel with everybody you're around. Tell them the truth. Make sure it's the truth. And then, you know, then you walk away. God said, it's not my job to get you saved. It's my God to tell you the truth. I mean, it's my job to tell you the truth. You have to get your own self saved. And how many of you are like me? You used to wear yourself out trying to get somebody saved. It doesn't work that way. Give them the truth, and then put it in God's hands and walk away. Some of you right now, God's telling me, some of you are going to walk on ground that's not holy. It's because he's going to send you there. It's not that your life is messed up. He's going to send you into some dark places so that your light can shine and you can win souls. So if God is leading you to go into a dark place, you know, to minister to people, then go. Only if he's sending you, though. If he's sending you into a dark place to minister to people, his anointing is going to be there and his anointing is going to break the yokes. All right? We had some people in here go on the streets yesterday, and God told them exactly where to go, and there was a lady asking God to send somebody to minister to her. And she got saved, right? So, you know, they're listening to the voice of God, and he's telling them where to go. Are you listening to the voice of God? See, this is what you have to ask yourself. Are you truly listening to the voice of God? And if you are you doing what God's telling you to do? Don't dismiss his voice, because the devil will really come in and he'll try to take your ear and speak into your ear. Make sure your ears are open and in tune to the voice of the Father so he can tell you exactly what he wants you to do. God wants to speak to us this morning about overcomers. There's not very many overcomers in the body of Christ. Do you believe that? I mean, do you see that? There are not very many overcomers sitting in the body of Christ, and that's why they can't praise. That's why they can't dance. That's why they're constantly in trouble. It's because they're not overcomers. All right, the key concept of overcoming is simply this. Find a way to win, and that's through Jesus. Do not be defeated in advance into the fullness of your God-given destiny. Do not be defeated. Or the first thing you need to do is find a way to win, which is Jesus. Then do not be defeated. And then advance into the fullness of your God-given destiny. Everybody sitting in this room, just about, God has told you what he wants to do with you, has he not? That is your God-given destiny. He wants you to be going forward into that God-given destiny, not allowing the people around about you to stop you. But just go ahead and move on and do the things he's calling you for to do. People are not going to understand your calling. Everybody's calling is different. Why? He uses your personality. And he will send you to people or send people to you that will relate to your personality and they'll listen and they'll grow by what you say. Are you understanding this? It is very important that we never give in to the power of defeat. And I see that all the time in the body of Christ. All right? Be honest. Everybody in this room, you have to fight defeat. At some point, maybe every day. But you have to fight defeat. But you fight it. You don't give in to it. That's the bottom line. You don't give in to it. You keep right on pressing and pressing and pressing. And, you know, sometimes you have to press so hard you think you can't press anymore. But you keep on pressing until you feel that freedom. From Genesis to Revelation, we read that the Bible is not a, now listen to this, is not a book of perfect people. It is a book of overcomers. You hear that? We often view people in the Bible as perfect saints. When I was first born again, I thought they were the best saints in the world, right? All right, we often view people in the Bible as perfect saints when in fact they are just as flawed as you and me. God's word from beginning to end is not a catalog of sinless, always obedient, picture perfect lives. Read it again. You apply this to yourself. Okay, this is all about yourself. God's word from beginning to end is not a catalog of sinless, always obedient, picture perfect lives, but instead, it shares the stories of flawed but faithful men and women. You see that? Persevering amid trials and tribulations. They're flawed. F-L-A-W-E-D. There's something wrong with them. All right? There's something wrong with everyone in this room. You know, if you're honest, you know you have flaws. And you know what they are. And those are the things you hold up before God every day so that one day they won't be there anymore. All right, these people, they faced overwhelming obstacles, seemingly impossible situations, and dangerous dilemmas that forced them to trust God. Isn't that us?
Yes.
Read that again. These people, they faced overwhelming obstacles. We do that every day. Seemingly impossible situations and dangerous dilemmas that forced them to trust God. Instead of a roll call of saints, the Bible is a book of overcomers.
Amen.
Let's look at some of the best known believers and what they had to overcome. How many of you really looked at the Bible like that? I hadn't. I think it's awesome. If you have, wonderful. You should have shared it with us sooner, right?
Amen.
All right. In the Old Testament, Abraham had to overcome the deceit of others as well as his tendency to deceive. Abraham's steadfast faith, his determined obedience, and his position as the first of the Hebrew patriarchs make him one of the most significant figures in the Bible. He had steadfast faith. So do you have steadfast faith? He had determined obedience. He was going to obey God no matter what God said. Do you do that? And his position as first of the Hebrew patriarchs make him one of the most significant figures in the Bible. And I thought it was interesting that Abraham lived 2,000 B.C. before Christ. So he didn't have Jesus walking the earth to tell him what to do.
Amen.
All right. God promised that he would be the father, that Abraham would be the father of many nations. But into old age, Abraham and his wife Sarah had never conceived until God gave them their son Isaac, forcing them to overcome their doubts and the limitations of biological logic. And you can find that in Genesis 17:1-27. You have to understand, saints of God, God will tell you he's going to do something in your life, and he might not, and he won't do it right the next day. It might take 10 years, but he's going to do it just like he did Abraham. He's in his old age. He said, God said, you're going to have a son.
Amen.
All right. All right, now let's consider Joseph, Abraham's great-grandson, and all that he overcame. He overcame, all right? Abandonment in the pit, betrayal by his brothers, the lies of his boss's wife, then incarceration. These are things he had to overcome. But because Joseph held on to his integrity, and God taught us about integrity, right? Because he held on to his integrity, he ended up as Pharaoh's right-hand man, overseeing the harvest, storage and location of grain, leadership to save not only the Egyptians, but also Joseph's own family in the nation of Israel. All the things that Joseph went through, he trusted God. And he ended up on the top of the list and not on the bottom. Many generations later, when the Israelites became enslaved in Egypt, Moses overcame his past, his temper, and even Pharaoh to lead God's people through the Red Sea in pursuit of the Promised Land. Let's read that again. Many generations later, when the Israelites became enslaved in Egypt, Moses overcame his past. What was his past? He killed somebody, right? He overcame his past, his temper, because he had a temper then, and even Pharaoh to lead God's people through the Red Sea in pursuit of the Promised Land. This is what we need to do, guys. We need to overcome these things that come upon us so that God can use us as great leaders. Story after story repeats this theme of overcoming, and the New Testament also reinforces it. Peter overcame his impulsive nature. Excuse me. Mary Magdalene overcame her past mistakes and bad reputation. The Apostle Paul overcame angry mobs, jail time, earthquakes, shipwrecks, and snake bites. And Jesus, the Son of God and our wondrous Savior, overcame darkness, death, defeat, and everything in between. Overcomers. We're overcomers, but we don't act like it. Right? We need to start acting like overcomers. I'm an overcomer. No, you're not. You know? You won't even have to tell anybody you are an overcomer because they'll see how you react to things if you're an overcomer. All right? We need to follow the example of the overcomers before us and refuse to give up the fight. We're in a battle. We can't just lay down our instruments of war and allow the enemy to overtake us. We have to fight. You know, Isaiah is into wrestling, and, you know, and I don't like wrestling because they look like they're going to kill each other. But, you know, they never give up, do they? They just keep coming. I said, why don't they just lay down? You know, but we don't keep coming back when we're in a fight, do we? We really don't. We let the enemy just defeat us at every turn. Lost my place. Don't allow your circumstances to determine the direction of your life. Amen. Are you hearing me here? Don't allow your circumstances to determine the direction of your life. Your battle may not be over, and you may feel weary from the struggle, which we all are, and the battle's not over. But God's power in you through the Holy Spirit will always prevail. This is truth that you have to get embedded into your spirit, man, or you're not going to make it. When you have the Spirit in your life, you no longer depend on your abilities and limited resources because you have the unlimited, infinite, and eternal power of the living God inside you. And once you live in the Spirit, you are never the same. Every service, I say, Holy Spirit, you have to come. Without you, this service won't go on. We have to have you in our services. I know my limitations, you know, and I know that without the Holy Spirit, I would not be sitting up here because I can't do what the Holy Spirit can do. There's too many people sitting in the house of God doing things in the flesh, and they're not relying on the Holy Spirit at all. And they're not getting anywhere. All right, God said, remind my people that they are not to live with a slave mentality. They are more than conquerors, and they come from the best stock. And they have overcome the evil reports of the enemy, and they do walk in all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Quit allowing the enemy of your soul to convince you otherwise. God said this, am I not your father? Then I will bless you and I will not curse. Well, I will bless and not curse. Step into your jubilee and receive all I have for you at this given time. Do not put a time limit on my blessings. If God said it, he's going to do it. He's not a man that he should lie. And he's saying right now that all the promises he's given you is yes and amen. And you're going to receive, you're going to have them. Only if you can believe for them, though. You can stop your blessings by getting in your doubt and unbelief and all the other junk you get into. If God spoke it, it's going to happen. All right, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ and for Christ, you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Not in, and not, none of this is your flesh. In Christ, by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ, you are an overcomer.
Yes.
Quit trying to do this on your own. You can't. You cannot do it on your own. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." See that? Everyone born of God. Are you born of God? If you're not an overcomer, I would say that says, no, you're not, right? This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Guys, you have to understand that you're going to be in warfare until Jesus Christ comes back again. And, you know, and the higher your calling, the greater the battle. And the enemy's at you every single solitary day trying to take you out. You know, my testimony is before I always went to church, but before I became born again, I was just happy-go-lucky, free. You know, I wasn't sinning or anything, but nothing came against me. The second I became born again, all hell came against me. And I said, God, what is this? Because, you know, I thought I was born again. Everything was going to be greater. I don't know how it could be greater because I was leading a good life. But everything just seemed to backfire. And God said, when you said, here I am, Lord, use me, the devil heard it too. And this is what comes along with it. When once you become born, see, some people won't become born again because they don't want to fight. But the testimony still is, that once you become born again, the battle starts.
Yes.
And it rages very, very hot at times.
Yes.
And, you know, right now, God's calling us into a rest. He just wants us to rest in Him because he knows the warfare we've been going through, and we need a season of rest. And right now, when God is calling us to rest, and you know, and just allow Him to fight our battles for us. So Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. See that? We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This is who we are. But yet people say, I don't want to serve that kind of God, but yet you'll serve the devil who is destroying your life and taking you to hell. Doesn't make any sense to me. You'll let that devil take you anywhere he wants to drag you. But all Jesus says is just believe in me. And when you're serving a devil, you're not happy. I watch people serving a devil. They're the most miserable people I've ever seen in my life. I am around a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics right now. And I can't understand why they would keep following the devil. Because they don't even know if they're even alive or not. But all Jesus says is follow me. Follow me. And He does not take us down those dark paths. All right. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You know, all this stuff we read about. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think we all need to take a trip to heaven so you can see how happy they are up there. And I think we all need to take a trip to hell to see how miserable they are. I've been both places. And believe me, I try to make sure nobody goes to hell. You really do not want to end up there. It is not what you think it is. It's worse. It's far worse. All right, today losing your spiritual momentum and getting distracted from what's truly important is easy. Right? You want to strengthen your faith and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, but so many emotions cripple your progress. Let's read that again. Today, losing your spiritual momentum and getting distracted from what's truly important is easy. You want to strengthen your faith and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, but so many emotions cripple your progress. That devil, he's relentless. He's around every corner. You know, he's on every road you walk on. He's just flat there. Can you come to grips with that? That the enemy is real and he's trying to kill you. But Jesus is just as, he's more real, and he's trying to save you. Come on. There's many sitting in the house of God that don't even understand this. And they've never been taught this kind of stuff. I don't know about you, but I spent the first 50 years of my life sitting in church and didn't learn nothing. And so the first time I heard God's voice, I didn't know what it was, and I didn't obey the voice and got myself in trouble. I got married. And he told me not to walk down the aisle. I didn't know who that was. I didn't know God spoke to me. Are you understanding this? We should have been told the truth right along. But, you know, I did read my Bible, but I think that maybe some of you early on were like me. You trusted the pastor to tell you the truth. And even though you sat and you read your word, you didn't really know to put the Holy Spirit there with you. And you didn't understand the deepness of the word. You just read it like it was a storybook. But it is not a storybook. Amen. All right, so this is why you need a spiritual second wind and a fresh burst of God's power infusing every area of your life, is so that you can stay an overcomer. I don't care what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter to a hill of beans. You know, you start paying attention to them and get all messed up, they're not going to be standing there on Judgment Day. You know, and they're not going to go to hell with you. They're going to stand back and laugh. I don't know where they're going to end up, but if you happen to end up now, they're going to stand back and laugh because you allowed them to persuade you. Right? If you want to experience the power to persevere in your life, then it's time to live as a co-heir with Christ instead of a distant relative ashamed to show up. Amen? It's time to stop trying on your own and rely on the Spirit. It's time to start living in the fullness of the power of God's Spirit dwelling in you. I don't know about you, but that's the only way I can even be alive today, is relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Standing on the promises that God has given me years ago that still haven't come to pass. I can just keep standing. And just keep, God says, stand still, stand still, stand still. That means he's fighting my battles for me, and it's coming. I just have to wait. Patience is what he's trying to teach some people. It's time to claim what is rightfully yours and surrender what is no longer your concern. That is so important, guys. It is time to claim what is rightfully yours and surrender what is no longer your concern. I think it's time that you just let go of this dumb stuff you're carrying around with you. It's not getting you anywhere. It's dragging you backwards. Get rid of that stuff. God said live one day at a time. And so what I'm living today, I don't drag into tomorrow. Are you listening here? And what happened to me yesterday, I forgot about that because I have a brand new day before me. I have a brand new day that I can start changing the way I think, the way I operate. I'm not going to operate on how I did yesterday because I didn't do too good of a job. I mean, I did, but that, isn't that how it works? Some people don't do a very good job, then they drag it into the next day, and now you're compounded with problems, right? All right, it's time to persevere with power every day, just not every now and then. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We have to lay these things aside, guys, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Endurance takes sacrifice. Get that written across your forehead or something. Endurance takes sacrifice. It takes dedication and commitment. It takes resolve and focus and discipline. Anything less than anything else will fall short. God is trying to get this body of Christ. You guys are sitting here this morning or listening. He's trying to get you to become an overcomer and stay an overcomer. You know, if you feel like today Satan's trying to drag you backwards, say, no, I'm not going back there with you. I got past that yesterday, overcame it yesterday, and you're not going to try to tempt me with it today. It was finished yesterday. Today I'm an overcomer in that area. Don't ever let him be an overcomer in any area of your life. You have a voice. You shout and carry on. Otherwise, why not shout at the devil and tell him what he's not going to do in your life? Come on. All right, God likens life to a running race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, the prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, not just one or two. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. See, some of you run and you don't know what you're running for. Not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And a lot of us, and I watch some of you doing praise and worship, and all you're doing is beating the air. You aren't defeating anything in your life. When praise and worship starts, your undivided attention should be on praise in the Father. It doesn't matter what crazy thing I ask you to do, because God tells me what to do. Just do it. Because it's being obedient to the Father. Amen. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, that's important, you guys who are teaching others, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. And if you're really a leader, God will let you know if you're falling short. He'll let you know that you're teaching somebody else something, but you're not following yourself. And God told us one time, if you're going to sit behind this pulpit and teach something, you better be living it. Don't, if you aren't living it, don't teach it. There's too many Christians in the body of Christ who are not living what they're speaking. Pastors also. They're just getting up there saying something, you know, for some reason or other, I don't know. I have a fear of God, and I wouldn't do that for nothing. I really wouldn't do that for nothing. All right, who is the one who wins? The one who masters endurance. Amen. Genesis 4:7 says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. You should rule over the sins in your life. The enemy should not have any rule over you. All right, so let's just say something right now. I think it's in my evening, but anyhow, so let's just say somebody's saying something about you. It's not true. This has happened all during my ministry for 40-some years, all right? So I know what I'm talking about. And you went so desperately to vindicate yourself. But God always says to me, I will vindicate you. Don't you try to vindicate yourself. In due season, I will vindicate you. You know, that due season might be 10, 20 years down the road. But God's going to let people know that what they said about you is not true. So don't try to vindicate yourself. You know what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. And everybody's speculating what you're doing. So don't try to vindicate yourself. God will do it for you. All right, there's a lesson that we must learn and learn instantly. That lesson is to remain silent when others accuse us falsely and to respond with peace when we are reviled. Jesus demonstrated in his own life that it is futile to try to defend oneself in the face of godless enemies.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, talking about Jesus, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus never said a word. Hear us, big old blabber mouths. We just would think we need to talk, and try to make people believe that, you know, that what we're doing is right. They're never going to believe it. You know, unless God reveals it, they're just going to keep, because they don't want to see you prospering. They want something, you to be doing something bad, and they're going to throw it out there. And then the more you try to vindicate yourself, the worse it's going to look. Get that down in your spirit. You're going to need it for the days ahead. All right, Matthew 27:12 says, and while he was being accused, this is Jesus again, by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But Jesus answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Pilate was amazed at the restraint that restraint. Women, you're worse than men. You don't have no restraint. You're always out there trying to vindicate yourself. Stop it. Pilate was amazed at the restraint that Jesus demonstrated in the face of his accusers. How many times do you think God must have been interested in justifying his son in the eyes of sinful men and women? You know, it must have been really hard for Jesus to keep his mouth closed. He knew he was the son of God, and he knew he was spotless. And they accused him, all his ministry, of all kind of junk. So what makes you think they're not going to accuse you of all kind of junk? The devil's always trying to discredit God's people. Get that into your spirit. See, this is why you have to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God to begin with. And you have to know that you know that you know that God called you to do the work you're doing. If you don't know that, then you might as well sit down, because the enemy's going to destroy you. All right. Yeah, certainly God did intervene and pronounce from heaven, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. He said it two times, once in Matthew 3:17, right after Jesus was baptized, and in Matthew 17:5, during the transfiguration. How many of you want God to say, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased? When people are coming at you and saying all manner of evil about you, you say, God, let them know I'm all right. Come on, we're all human. Well, some of you aren't, I guess. You're looking at me like, you know, you really want God to vindicate you, because what they're saying is horrible. Ever since I started a church in this area, pastors don't say one nice word about me. I'm an occult. I'm of the devil. All kind of things. I'm a false prophet. It goes on and on and on. But I know who I am. I know that God called me. So that devil, he can use whoever he wants, but I am not going to give in to his tactics. And that's how you have to feel.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right? Because I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. All right, yet during the moment of the Jesus' trial, his scourging and crucifixion, there were no voices from heaven, even though God said this before. There was no voices from heaven to announce God's displeasure with the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the leaders of the Jews. Remarkably, God himself remained silent. Why? Because Jesus had to go through with this. And the reason why he doesn't vindicate us is because we have to go through the things we go through to prove to the world that God is greater. If he'd come and vindicate you every time, you wouldn't be a testimony of nothing. I know you think that's terrible, but that's the way it is. All right. Have you ever been in a place where you are doing God's perfect will and others around you do not understand? No matter how you try to explain what God has asked you to do, they never understand.
Yes.
You must fully understand it. In God's timing, he will vindicate you. You know, when God asked me to marry my second husband, I didn't want to do that. And I said, all right, finally I gave in. All right, God, your will, your way. What's going to happen? He said, when you announce the wedding, he said, half the people are going to leave the church. And we were packed out every day. And he said, then whenever you get married, everybody's going to leave except four. And that's exactly what happened. And they talked about, I don't know if they're still talking about it or not. Poor man's dead now, you know. Some people, you know, when people come to you, you need to do like I do. They ask you questions. I says, have you prayed? That's all. Have you prayed? And then I say, when you've prayed, then you can come back to me with your accusations. They never come back because they never prayed to begin with. You don't have to sit there and try to make yourself look right. Just ask them one simple question. Have you prayed? And let it go at that. All right, part of the Father's will in this is that his overcomers should die to their own reputations. Are you hearing this? It is the Father's will that his elect should die to all that is of self and that has its roots in pride. The soul of man wants others to think well of itself. We want everybody to love us. Well, hello, join the club of the unloved. If you're truly doing God's work, people are not going to love you. They're not going to accept you. And they're going to say all manner of evil about you. Amen. You know, I'm so glad I have all these testimonies because I lived through all this stuff and I can teach it, right? Our soul does not want others to think lowly and unworthy things about us. Self wants to be respected. But the scriptures reveal that the way to exaltation is the path of humility and suffering. God told me when I first started, he said, some are born to suffer and you are one of those. You will suffer for me. So I already have that at the top of my list. So when it started happening, I didn't question nothing. I was already warned that that was going to happen. See, I should have gotten out then, but I stayed, you know. And so now I have to do exactly what he said. Some of you are the same way with me. You say, oh, well, I can deal with this. When God asked me to marry my second husband, you know, after about a month, I said, God, why didn't you tell me I'm just going to have to go through all this? He said, you wouldn't have done it. And he was right. I would not have gone through it. He said, so I just let you walk it out one day at a time. But I'm with you. Are you understanding this? You know, God is so sovereign. You know, my father always taught me to respect myself and carry myself well and have integrity. And then when I got born again and then God called me into ministry and all this junk come, do you know what that did to me? You know, I couldn't, it was wild. It was, you know, it was so, you know, opposite of what the way I've lived. All right, Luke 6:22 and verse 26 says, it was the religious people of that day that rejected Jesus. It's the religious people that will talk about you. I'm sorry, everybody that's in the house of God is not born again. And God has told us years ago, I'm done with religion. It's spirit calls to spirit. It was those who considered themselves guardians of the law and of the holy writing of the prophets and patriarchs who condemned the one who was totally righteous. The church will come against you. Get that in your spirit right now. The religious, the spirit-filled will not, but the religious bunch will. Jesus has given fair warning that all of his disciples will endure the same. John 15:20. Remember the word, Jesus speaking, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. They did it to Jesus. They're going to do it to you. And if you can't stand the fire, get out. God told me early on, go in and read all the red letters. And then I was fussing about something. He said, when you're through reading the red letters, then come back and we'll talk. I never went back. I didn't have a foot to stand on because my Jesus went through a whole lot more than I'll ever go through. All right. You know, we are not here just to be pampered and satisfy our flesh. We're here on a mission. We're here to save souls. And I know that 90% of the body of Christ does not understand that. Amen. And that's why we don't have the great harvest yet. Because nobody wants to save souls. They want to pamper themselves. And that's not why we're here. All right? Maybe there is somebody in the sound of my voice today who is hearing these words and you are walking down difficult roads due to choosing to be obedient to the voice of the Spirit. You're choosing to be obedient to the voice of the Spirit. You must know that you will be misjudged by family and friends and other Christians who do not understand the ways of God. It is a bitter thing to have others look at your greatest trials, your greatest acts of obedience and faithfulness to God, and to esteem you as a sinner or to consider you to be deluded. The temptations will arise to justify yourself before the eyes of others. Well, I've been tempted lately to do that, but I've had to fight that battle. You will want others to say, well done. And to encourage you on your path, but instead you will receive misunderstanding and discouragement. I've walked through this for, 35 years or something like that now? This is what you're going to get. So do you want this? Are you strong enough to handle this? You know, and I really think that's how God is separating the wheat from the chaff. Those who thought they could endure everything can't. And, you know, so God's just not calling them to do the mighty works. At this time of temptation, you know, when you're being misunderstood and discouraged, at this time of temptation, listen to the voice of the Spirit. Listen to what God's saying to you. You will hear him speaking to you and encouraging you to rest and remain silent. He will exhort you to leave your reputation completely in the hands of the Father and to seek only his approval. If you are concerned that others do not recognize your obedience and you are insistent that they should acknowledge your faithfulness, you will only become angry and embittered when they don't. Know this with all confidence. God will in his time reveal those who are faithful and those who are not. You will hear your Father say, be still and know I am in God. I am God. And that's in Psalm 46:10. It got to a point one time not too long ago that every time I prayed, God said, be still. I didn't even want to pray because I knew I was going to hear, be still. And that's not what I wanted to hear. You're just like me. Come on. You guys are really faithful to God, and you're going through the hell that we just learned about here. Be still. And know that God is God. And that God has your back. And God used to always tell me when I was going through real bad trials, I have your back. Yeah. I'm working everything out behind the scene. You just keep walking. Just keep enduring. Keep doing the things I'm calling you forth to do. Don't listen to the voices. Don't listen to the voices. Don't look at the faces. Look up into my eyes and keep walking. And that's what he's saying to each one of you in here this morning. Quit becoming discouraged. You're an overcomer. You know, God's word said every sin has a price to pay. So if you've sinned and, you know, and it's hit you in the face, there's the price to be paid is there. Maybe God told you, don't do this. I've done that. You know, I was disobedient to God's voice one time years ago. Then for a year he let me walk that thing out. I said, I'll never do this again. He told me not to be angry about something somebody said about me, and everybody convinced me that I should be angry. And I said, I'm going to be angry if I want to. God said, go ahead. He withdrew his spirit from me for a year. He only anointed me to preach. That's all he would do. I decided right then and there I wasn't going to go down that road ever again. I do learn by my lessons. Do you learn by yours? By my mistakes, I should say. Or do you go around the same mountain over and over again? I must have been going around a mountain over and over again one time because God said to me, daughter, when you quit going around the mountain, he said, I'm waiting on you. So I knew I wasn't being obedient to God, and I was beating that same bush half to death. And God said, I'm waiting for you to quit going around the mountain. I'm waiting for you to get over this thing. and then we'll move on. How many of you, there's something in your life that God's waiting for you to get over? And you keep going around the mountain over and over and over again. It's time to stop. I'm hearing God say it's time to stop and really smell the roses so I can bless you the way I want to bless you. This thing that so easily besets you is destroying you. Did you hear what he just said? This thing that's so easily besetting you is destroying you. Do you really want others to get saved? Then why don't you live the life of a saved person? Why are you showing a person double standards and you want to get to, oh, come on, let's go to church with me. But they see a double standard. They don't want that. They want single-mindedness. They want to see you walking like Jesus walked. They want to see you when you're in a trial or tribulation. You might weep for a night, but you rejoice in the morning. God knows we're going to cry. God cries a lot over the people, you know, because I feel his heart all the time, and he weeps a lot over the people. So it's okay to cry. Just don't drown yourself in your tears for a year or so. Get your weeping over with it, and then get up in the morning and say, okay, God, new day, new dawning. Yesterday's gone. We can't redo it. Let's just move on, and let's get this harvest on the road. You want the glory, but you don't want to change. You have to change. You really have to change. I just came through 2 years of screaming my guts out every day at my house with drug addicts and alcoholics. What did it get me? Stressed out. I give it to God and turn around and start carrying on all over again. Because I don't know about if you ever live with a drug addict there or an alcoholic, they can tear your house apart in 5 minutes. Break everything you have and bring all kind of havoc into your home. And I'd say, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to raise my voice. Next day, there was all over again. I said, God, why do I keep falling into this pit? But I finally overcame it. I was finally really able to speak in the voice of Jesus and not the voice of the enemy. So that's just a testimony. One thing I've gone through. What have you gone through? And you know, you know that you're leaning toward the enemy, you're letting him use you, and you're crying out, God, I don't want him to do this. And then one day, God just, it's just like the thorn in the flesh. One day, all that's gone. Then you're back to who you normally are. But in the meantime, the enemy took you on the wildest ride of your life, one that you thought you'd never overcome. All right. And what God made me do is go speak to the enemy. And say, forgive me for yelling at you. That's when I was free. And then they turned around and looked at me. They said, you'll never know what those words mean to me. So maybe you have to go to your enemy and say, please forgive me. And I said, I was so ungodly and I'm really sorry. I did not show you the picture of Jesus. I said, but what I did, it was not Jesus. I bared my soul to the enemy. But it set me free. Do you have an enemy you might have to bare your soul to? You know, just go and say, I'm really sorry that I didn't act like Jesus. I let the enemy have control. You can't take it back. Do you know how often I think, God, I wish that would never happen? But it did, and I can't take it back. Of course, they talked about me. I'm trying to get people saved. And, you know, in the drug group, they talked about me. But I caused that myself by not acting like Jesus. So if we become overcomers, the enemy will not be able to take hold of us and use us for his good. This morning, God just really wants you who know that you are not a total overcomer. He wants you to come forth and, you know, confess him, God, I'm not an overcomer. I allow the enemy to come in and use me to destroy. The altars are open.